Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening to each and every one. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. This is Apostle Willie Ann Miller. I'm so glad that you tuned in. Trust that you done had a glorious and a victorious week. As the psalmist say, this is the day that the Lord have made. I trust that you've been rejoicing in it in spite of what's happening all over the world. And I trust that you've been praying for Israel. Ask the Lord allow you to pray. I hear this prophet say this week, and I've been meditating on it, if Jesus ain't pressing, where Jesus not pressing, it's no peace. And you know, Jesus is the Prince of Peace, you know. And so I invite everybody, and I tell people, you know, receive Jesus, your Lord and Savior. Jesus said in St. John the 16th chapter, in this world we're going to have trouble. He told us we're going to have tribulation. He said, but in me, you can have peace. If you go to Matthew in the 24th chapter, Jesus also talked about wars, the rumor of war. And we, from what Matthew 24 say, we in the beginning of sorrow. Now, I do really believe, y'all, we living in the last of the last days. I do believe that, you know. And if you read your Bible, you would know that, you know. There's so many things now is trying to detract us and get our attention from focus on the number one thing. And I want to talk about, dying. Yes, I'm going to talk about that. I started Monday, but I had some kind of interference, and we weren't able to finish talking about dying. The Bible says, appointed unto man once to die, and after that, the judgment. And as I stated, I want to just kind of repeat some of it and work with that, because as I stated, even in Matthew, the 6th chapter, when Jesus was telling them not to take no thought for their life, what they're going to eat or what they're going to drink, he would come at the necessary things about life. He was saying there was something more important to life other than eating and drinking. And you know, when I think about dying, you know, the reality of dying didn't really get my attention to after my grandmother. She was 103, if I'm quoting it right, she was 103 when she died. And I was very close to my grandmother. My grandmother was really close to all her grandchildren. But her eyes had, you know, had got dim, and we would have to read the Bible to my grandmother. And she was fit, and at that time, I saw them as Bible stories. And, you know, she would tell us things about the Bible that it was amazing to me, but the reality of it hadn't kicked in, you know. But I used to love to hear her talk about it. She talked about Lucifer. She talked about Satan and the devil. Not really. I didn't have a knowledge and understanding about what grandmother was talking about when she would talk about that. And, you know, at that time, my mindset was, if you live right, you won't die. Yeah, that was the kind of mindset I had at that time. I know my grandmother loved it, the Lord, because that's all she talked about. Majority of her conversation, what she had to talk about involved the Lord. Now, my grandmother didn't have the knowledge and the understanding of revelation that we have today, but what she had, she openly confessed the Lord Jesus as her Savior. But when she passed, I was offended with God, because as I stated, in my lack of knowledge, no understanding, I thought if you love God and you live right, you would live forever. I had it twisted. I had it backwards. Now, they do live forever, his eternal, but not on this side, you know. So we're gonna go back to Luke, the 17th chapter, and I pray that you would listen with open ears, because, like I said, it's a lot of killing. It's a lot of violence, a lot of killing, a lot of murder is in the land now. And then the point I want to bring out, and I want you to really understand, we're not being little. You know, it grieved and saddened my heart when innocent people is murdered. That bothers me. That bothers me, you know. But when I read the Bible give me consolation. The Bible bring peace. And that's what we want to do. I've been praying for Israel, ask the Lord lead me. And like I said, I trust you. But even right here in the United States, you know, you got gang members killing gang members, drive-by shooting, you know, innocent children getting killed, innocent people getting killed, you know. And like I said, dying is part of life, you know. And when the Lord gave me some understanding about dying, when my grandmother passed, I had really just got saved, maybe a couple of years. I had just received Jesus, my Savior. And like I said, I got offended with God because I said, grandmama didn't supposed to die. Grandmama lived it right. But the thing about it, my grandmama lived to see 103. You know, that was grace. That was the mercy and the grace of God, and I'm grateful. But today, I got a little bit more knowledge and understanding about death. We're going to open up with prayer. Father, it's in Jesus' name. We thank you for this day, because truly this is the day that you have made. And Father, we just thank you so much. We thank you so much, Father. We acknowledge you as the God of our Creator. We acknowledge Jesus, our Lord and Savior. We acknowledge the Holy Spirit that came down the day of Pentecost, abiding on the inside of us. And Father, I thank you for giving us clarity and accuracy, but they share this word which you place upon our heart. I trust that the Holy Spirit will bring enlightenment, revelation, and conviction to those that have tuned into the broadcast. I cover everyone. I plead the blood of Jesus over the airways right now. I plead the blood of Jesus over the airway. I bind up all interference right now. In Jesus' name, amen. If you have your Bibles, again, I want you to go to Luke and let's go to Job. I'm gonna read the verse of Job as well as Luke. But in Job, the 19th chapter, the 25th through the 26th verse, and I'm reading from the King James, and I'm going to read it from the Amplified as well. Yeah, I want to read this verse from Job, and then we're going to go to Luke. Death is sure. Death is a sure thing. And as I stated, you know, a lot of people say that they don't believe. They believe when they dead, they just dead. The Bible tells us if the gospel is hidden, it's hidden to those that are lost. It said the God of this world, it says Satan will blind your mind. The enemy wants you and I and everybody else to believe that when you die, you're just going to be dead and you ain't going to know. But as I stated, the Bible says, appointed unto man once to die, after that, the judgment. In the book Ecclesiastes, it tells us it's a time to die. It's a time to mourn. It's a time to grieve. These things going to take place, you know. Okay, in Job, the 19th chapter, in that 25th, Job 19, verses 25 and 26. Job 19, 25 and 26. In the King James Version, it said, "For I know that my Redeemer liveth, and that he shall stand at the latter days upon the earth. And though after my skin worm destroyed this body, yet in my flesh shall I see God." Now that's what it say in that King James Version. And we read it from the Amplified, Job 19, verses 25 and 26. the 25th verse read in Amplified. It says, for I know that my Redeemer and Vindicator lives, and at last he, the last one, will stand upon the earth. And after my skin, even this body, have been destroyed, then from my flesh, or without it, I shall see God. Okay? Now, let's go to, now we're going to go to Luke, the 16th chapter. What is you talking about dying, prophet? Because, y'all, it's a fact. You can't change it. Now, I remember one of my mothers, or one of my mentors in the Lord, she preached a sermon, and I won't forget that sermon. And it blessed me when she preached it, and she said, we all have an appointment with death. I won't forget that. One of my mentors preached that message maybe over 30 years ago. She preached, we all have an appointment with death. And she said, God, the only one, can change that appointment, you know. But my thing is, as I stated, it said how innocent people is being murdered. It said, but my thing as a minister of the gospel, the good news is, since all of us going to die, I'm a spirit, I have a soul, and I live in a body. Now, one thing I learned when the Lord brought this to me about my grandmother, he said, yes, your grandmother's spirit is not on the earth anymore. Her body is not on the earth anymore. But he let me know through the scripture that her spirit and her soul, which is one now, it's in heaven. The Bible said to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. Psalms 116 said the deaths of the saints are precious in God's sight. And see, the point is, well, why are you talking about this? Because the Bible said we is born again, believe it, we don't grieve like we don't have hope when it comes down to our loved one. Now, yes, it hurt. It hurt. It broke my heart. Because to me, my grandmama was, you know, if you want to use the term, to me, my grandmama was holy. My grandmama really loved it, the Lord. She, you know, something, because use the term, she was the bomb. You know, she was one that started me out reading the Bible. And so I just didn't think, you know, my mindset was when somebody live right, they don't die. I didn't know any better. I didn't have the knowledge and understanding that I have now. But once I got saved and got into God's word, I found that I too, one day, my spirit and soul gonna exit my body, which is the flesh. I hear the minister today, he would tell me, our body is just our earthly suit. It's our earthly suit in order for us to operate on the earth. A body cannot operate on the earth. A spirit cannot operate on the earth unless it have a body. That's one of the reasons why God made him a body, by putting himself in Mary's womb. In order for God to be legal operating on this earth, he needed a body. That's why the enemy seeks to try to possess, and it's possible that a spirit can possess an unbeliever. Now, I don't believe they can possess a believer, but I believe they might can obsess them, not possess them, you know. But there, too, again, as I stated, we're going to Luke. Now we're going to Luke. We read from Job. Now we're going to Luke. Because, like I said, I want you to see this, because, as I stated, all humans, believers and unbelievers, are subject to death. We need to get that. All believers, all humans and unbelievers are subject to death. And in the scripture, it tells us the important to understand, and we need to understand what it's like for a believer to die and what an unbeliever, what happened to both of them. Now, when I go to Luke, the 16th chapter, you know, because, you know, as I stated, the enemy wants all of us to forget that, oh, you're going to die one day. Now, he don't want us to focus on that. I know some people, they don't even like to discuss their part of life. Just like living is part of life, dying is a part of life, you know. But if you go in Genesis, you'll find out when he put Adam and Eve in the garden, and he told them, when he put Adam and Eve in the garden, Adam and Eve, they died a martyr death. God had warned them in the day that they eat from that forbidden fruit that they would surely die. And that was a serious warning. And you're going to find out even in Luke, the 16th chapter, when the rich man lifted up his eyes in hell, he told Abraham that, you know, would you send Moses, he was saying, could you send somebody back from the dead to warn my brother? Because if you don't, my brother, they're going to come this place too. And Abraham told him that, you know, even if somebody came from the dead, it wouldn't help him. And, you know, your heart can get so hard, and the enemy can have you in such a blinded state that you really believe that when you dead, you just going to be dead. That just it. Ain't no life, but y'all, his life after death, you know. And like I said, you know, it's sad about the violent, the killing, all of this that happened on the earth. And that's why we as born-again believers, if you ain't busy and witness to your family and witness to other people, you need to get busy. And I pray that God will begin to stir your heart. You know, even if you're not if you're not talking to him, you need to start praying. The Bible said the harvest truly is plenty, but the labors are few. So we need to be praying. I don't know about you, but I got lost loved ones, and I'm praying. I'm praying, you know, I even fast for them. And I'm believing the Lord that he will send the perfect language through their past to witness to them that they have received the word. Yes, I have had some to say, you know, when I'm dead, I'm just dead. No, 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 no. That's what the devil wants you to believe. He wants you to be for eternal damn. That's what he wants. He wants you to be eternal. Eternal is everlasting. But in okay, as I stated, we're gonna go to Luke, that 16th chapter and that 19th verse. And Jesus began to talk about this. He was telling a story about a rich man and Lazarus. As we know, the rich man had the luxury, and Lazarus, he was a beggar. But the difference was, Lazarus was a man that had faith. Yes, he was a son of Abraham. He had faith, you know. But the rich man, you know, at that time, and you know, I might be getting ahead of myself, but the rich man, he knew that Abraham was the father. He said, Father Abraham. And he knew who Moses and the prophets was. What it was, he done did like so many people, he reject the word. He reject what was told. What was told to him about Abraham, about Moses, and about the prophets. And we got so many people. And y'all, please hear me. Don't take the word lightly. I believe it's in Hebrews. It's either the second or the third chapter. It talk about we need to pay earnestly to what we hear, less at any time we let it slip. As I stated, it's so many things. It's trying to get your attention or get our attention even now. I don't know about you. I have to just take authority just over myself and tell myself I'm going to sit, I'm going to read the word, I'm going to meditate, I'm not going to watch the TV. You know, I'm not saying it's a sin to watch the TV. Please hear me. But I'm telling you, you need to find out what God is saying to you. You know, I used to believe if you didn't curse, if you didn't drink, then you know you was a good person. No. If you haven't received Jesus as your Lord and Savior, you are a sinner and you are spiritually blind. The Bible tells us in Isaiah that all of our righteousness is filthy rags. Now, the Bible also tells us it's a way that seemeth right to a man, but the end of its destruction. You see, the way God created this earth, God done already established things and put certain things in place. And Jesus even made a bold statement. He said, I am the way. I am the way. the truth and the light. Well, we got to do the same when it comes down to being in the kingdom of God. The kingdom of God comes with its own laws and principles, and we have to do it the way that God said do it. Even Jesus, when Mary them caught up with him after them few days he had been missing, he told them, didn't they know he must be about his Father's business? Then he also made a statement. He said, I always do those things that please the Father. Well, when you come into the kingdom of God, we're supposed to do it the way that God say do it. This ain't about what Ann thinks. This ain't about what somebody else thinks. It's about doing it the way that God say do it. Jesus said, I always do those things that please the Father. And that's why even in Matthew, the 6th chapter, it tells us to seek ye first the kingdom of God and its righteousness, and all these things will be added. And I'm telling you, the Bible even said, how can they hear unless a preacher preach to them? And how can they, if a preacher have to be sent? The word of God had to get out. Even when he anointed those disciples, the first 12, then the 7, he said he anointed them. And he sent them out as twos. Listen, God is constantly putting people in other people's paths to hear this word. Just like I thank God for technology. We can just call. You can't see my face, but you can hear my voice. And I thank God for that. But I pray that it, even as the writer said, pray earnestly to what you're hearing. Lest at any time we let it slip. Apostle Paul told Timothy that in the last days, how many going to depart from the faith, and they're going to heed to doctrine and teaching of the devil. If a voice or anyone come and telling you, well, you ain't got nothing to worry about, I mean, you ain't got to go to church, and the Bible says, forsaking not to assemble yourself together. When anybody is telling you something that is contrary to this word, well, you won't know if it's contrary to what the word of God said if you don't read it. That's why another reason. You need to make and find time to read your Bible. Yes, they trying to rewrite the Bible. They done, in certain places, they done rewrote the Bible. They done took certain things out. They done, even in some Bibles, they done took out the whole first chapter of Romans. And if you study it, because it said how a man supposed to stick with a woman, and a woman supposed to be in relationship with a man. But to see, the enemy is doing everything he can. He's been doing it ever since the Garden of Eden. He always been trying to discredit God or try to get us to doubt what God say. Well, my brother and sister, this is not the hour. It never was, but now like never before, this is not the hour in the time for you not to know God. The Bible said, the day that you hear my voice, harden not your heart. Let me go on to read this because I want to get it in. And like I said, I'm in St. Luke, the 16th chapter, and I'm reading from the King James Version, and we're going to read that 19th verse. It said, there was a certain man which was clothed in purple and fine linen, fared sumptuously every day, and there was a certain beggar named Lazarus, which were laid at his gate a full of sores, and desired to be fed with the crumbs which fell from the rich man's table. More of the dogs came and licked his sores. And it came to pass that the beggar died and was carried by the angel to Abraham's bosom. The rich man also died and was buried, and in hell he lift up his eyes, being in torment, and seeth Abraham afar off and Lazarus in his bosom. And he cried and said, Father Abraham, have mercy on me, and send Lazarus that he may dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue, for I am tormented in this flame. But Abraham said, Son, remember that thou in thy lifetime received thy good things, and likewise Lazarus evil thing, but now he is comforted, and thou art tormented. And beside all this, between us and you, there is a great gulf fixed, so that they which will pass from hence to you cannot, neither can they pass to us that will come from thence. Then he said, I pray thee therefore, Father, that thou wouldest send him to my father's house, for I have five brethren, that he may testify to them, lest they also come into this place of torment. Abraham said unto him, thou have Moses and the prophet, let them hear them. And he said, nay, Father Abraham, but if one went unto them from the dead, they will repent. And he said unto him, if thou hear not Moses and the prophet, neither would they be persuaded through one rose from the dead. And see, there too again, as I stated, it going to happen. It going to happen. And like I said, we, but God through Jesus, through his son Jesus, he done made a way. You see, the Bible says it's not God's will that any shall perish, but we all should come to the knowledge of truth. But you know, because we are free beings, we're free modern agent. We have a will, and I ministered on this maybe a month or two ago. You see, God is not going to override your will. God ain't going to make you live right. God ain't going to make you get saved. And I tell you, when I begin to study the scripture, I believe that's why Paul said it in the book of Romans. He said, shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? He said, God forbid. You got some people feeling that since we got grace, I can live and do what I want to do without any consequences. That is not true. That is not true. That is a lie from the pits of hell. The Bible, God's still calling us to be holy. Listen, holy is a lifestyle. Come on, somebody. God's still calling us to live a consecrated life, a separated life, a sanctified life. God's still requiring us to do that. But it's an act of your will. If you want to live right, God will help you. It's not nothing. It's not one addiction or one sin on the earth that Jesus haven't paid for. But it's an act of your will. You have to humble yourself and cry out to the Lord and tell him you need a Savior. You have to cry and say, I'm tired of the life that I'm living. Come on, somebody. You have to cry out. And if you cry out, just like those disciples, just like Peter, remember when Peter said, Lord, if it be it, you bid me come. Peter began to walk on the water. But when Peter looked around and see the water boisterous, the Bible said that he began to sink. Well, when he began to sink, Peter began to cry out to the Lord and said, Lord, save me. Well, listen, you can cry out this evening, Lord, save me. Lord, have mercy on me. I need a Savior. Forgive me. Help me. And guess what? The Lord would do that. But I'm telling you, as I stated, we all going to die. We just don't know when, you know, for the most of it. You don't know when, but it going to happen, okay? And I'm in the Amplify, and I'm starting at the 22nd verse. I'm going to start at that 19th verse. I'm sorry. Okay, in that 19th verse, I'm in the Amplified. It said, there was a certain rich man who habitually clothed himself in purple and fine linen and revered and feast and made merry and splendid every day. And at his gate there was a careless drop down and left a certain uttering destitute man named Lazarus, reduced to begging alms and covered with unsaturated soul. He eagerly desired to be satisfied with what fell from the rich man's table. Moreover, the dogs even came and licked his sores. And it occurred that the man reduced to begging, the beggar died and was carried by the angel to Abraham's bosom. The rich man also died and was buried. And in Haiti, the rim of the dead, being in torment, he lifted up his eyes and saw Abraham far away and Lazarus in his bosom. And he cried out and said, Father Abraham, have pity and mercy on me, and send Lazarus to dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue, for I am in agony in this flame. But Abraham said, child, remember that in you in your lifetime fully receive what is due in comfort and delight, and Lazarus like a manner, the discomfort and distresses, but now he is comfort here, and you are in agony. And beside all this, between us is a great chain that have been fixed in order that those who want to pass from this place to you may not be able, and no one may pass from there to us. And the man said, then, Father, I beseech you to send him to my father's house, for I have five brothers, so that he may give solemn testimony and warn them lest they too come into the place of torment. But Abraham said, they have Moses and the prophet. Let them hear and listen to them. But he answered, no, Father Abraham, but if someone from the dead goes to them, they will repent and change their mind for the better and the heart of men their ways with the word of their past sin. He said to him, if they do not hear and listen to Moses and the prophet, neither will they be persuaded and convinced and believe, even if someone should raise from the dead. And as I stated, in this hour, like never before, we need to make sure, you need to make sure, as them old saints said, you need to make sure that you anchor in Jesus. You need to make sure that Jesus is your Lord and Savior. Listen, don't play with this thing, you know, and that's why when it comes down to these gang members and all of this violence and all of this murder, drive-by shooting, you need to pray. I tell parents, if you got children, if you got anybody in your family that's not saved, you need to make it your business to pray for them. You need to make it your business to fast, add some fasting to your praying. Not fussing at them all the time, but the Bible tells us, how can one enter into a strong man's house except he first bind the strong man? The Bible tells us, as I stated in Ephesians, the second chapter, it said that we all, at one time, we yield to the spirit of disobedience. Yes, and when he talks about spirit of disobedience, he talks about Satan. Just because you go to church, that don't mean you say, come on, somebody. If you, because some people feel like I said, if I don't curse, I don't do this, I'm right. No. The Bible said, all of my righteousness is our filthy rags. Jesus is the way. That's why the Bible says we all got to come by Jesus. We all, that's the door. That's the door we all have to go through, the door of Jesus. And that's why I'm telling you, it is so important. You know, I'm not, like I said, I'm not condemning nobody. I'm not putting nobody down, but I'm saying death going to come to all of us. You're going to die. And you either going to spend eternity in heaven or you're going to spend eternity in hell. And just like, and that's why I'm telling you about Adam and Eve. And I'm telling you, listen, obedience have consequences and disobedience have consequences. And just like in Luke the 16th chapter, this rich man recognized who Abraham was. He would call him Father Abraham. He knew who Abraham was. He knew about the prophets, and he knew about Moses, but he rejected. And we got so many people, they rejecting Jesus. Even with this millennial generation, the enemy wants some of them to believe that they ain't going to die, or when they die, they just dead. And y'all, you need to fast. We need to continue to pray and fast for them. Parents, you need to even talk to them, you know. But first, as I stated, according to Matthew 12, you first got to bind that spirit that's operating in them, that spirit of disobedience, that's telling them, oh, you can do what you want to do. Let me tell you something. It's consequences when you do what you want to do. When you, I, and anybody else violate the laws and principles, God, it's consequences. God done already laid out a plan about all of our life. That's what the psalmist said. You have my blueprint. God already got a plan for each and every one of our lives. But there too, again, if you want to, you can violate it. You ain't got to go the way God wants you to go. Oh, Lord, I pray that your spirit eyes will come up. I have a will. And because I'm a free mother agent, I can do if I will. I can choose. Ain't it strange that even in the God of Gethsemane, here Adam and Eve, look at him. Here, Adam and Eve, in that God, Adam and Eve, they choose to disobey God. In the God, I mean, they choose. It was an act of their will. He told them the consequences. And you got to realize, now he told them that, like I said, they died. He told them that the day that they ate from the forbidden tree, they would surely die. What happened first, they died spiritually. And that's why I say, if you haven't accepted Jesus, your Lord said, you are spiritually dead. Yeah? You are spiritually dead. The only way the church can save you is you humble yourself and acknowledge that you is a sinner. But see, Adam and Eve, they died first spiritually. That was the consequence of their action, because see, God will come down in the cool of the day. Now, God was a spirit. So high in the world, they was a spirit, had a soul, and they were closed in a body. But because their spirit was open, they had a clear connection, communication with God. And that's why I look at people. The Bible tells us that the righteous don't have no dealing with sinners. Means sinners don't have nothing in common, because they flip on you. They is easy to be influenced and enticed by the devil. Now, we as saints, if we ain't careful, we can be too, but not like the sinner. And see, Adam and Eve, first, they died spiritually. They wasn't able to commune with God no more like they used to. They died spiritually. And this was you a spirit, you have a soul, we live in a body. Now, my spirit in my soul, that's what's going to live eternity. That's why Jesus said on one occasion, he said, you don't fear the one that can kill the body. He said, but you need to fear the one that's able to kill body and soul and cast it. Yes, people can kill, and even the one that being murdered and being shot, you know, come by drive-by shooting, if them people know God, listen, they going to spend eternity with the Lord and with their family, and that's why it's so important. I remember when I was growing up, and my grandmama, now she said this, and I found out later, like I said, they gave me the best they had. And they did the best they could with what they had. They said, when you turned 12, your sins was on you. But when you read the book of Joel tell you how his sons and daughter going to prophesy and how the Spirit of God. And I have been in prayer meeting. I remember the first one after I got saved. And I thank God for Apostle Mercy Jones. And he had his church, the Glory Church. And I went to one of his all-night prayer. They invited me, and we went to one of his all-night prayer. And they had children that I know maybe 6 and 7 years old. And they was telling them when it was time to pray, they said, join hand and pray in your prayer language. I was amazed to see 6 and 7 years from 6 on up, these little children were joining hand. They were praying in their prayer language. I was so amazed at that. Because in my circle, I didn't see that. But when I left that place, it helped me, where it let me know I was. Now, my children at 6 and 7, they was not speaking in tongues. But at 6 and 7, they were reading their Bible, because I made sure they read it when I read mine. And y'all, I tell parents these days, and I tell young people, it's more to having children than just birthing them on this earth. You have assignment. Just like with marriage, it's more to marriage than just sex. Y'all, come on. I know this might be tight. You might not want to hear it. But, y'all, everything that we're doing, according to the Bible, we're going to give an account. We're going to give an account for everything, that every idle word we speak. And, you know, you got some people setting up in the church. You got some people setting up in the church, and you've been saved so long. Now, you take the things of God lightly. The word of God don't mean that much to you no more. Yeah, you go there, and you sit in the church, but is you serious about the things of God? Like I said, it's in Hebrews, the second chapter. He said, therefore, we ought to give the more earnest heed to the things which we have here, lest at any time we should let them slip. And if you go into Hebrews, the 4th chapter, it talk about Moses. It talk about the children of Israel. Yeah, God had brought them out of Egypt. But once they got out of Egypt and they was on their way to the promised land, they began to take the word of God that was coming from Moses lightly. They even, some of them, in the, they rose up against Moses. Remember Quran? They rose up against Moses. Y'all, we living in that time. We're living in that time when it's we got people that say they done departed from the faith. Now they're yielding to seducing and doctrine of the devil. They done took holiness out the picture. You don't have to be holy no more. You can be married as many times you want to. You can divorce as many times as you want to. Y'all, we need to go back to the basics. That's what I'm telling you. It's appointed unto all of us to die, and after that, the judgment. Now, I'm telling you, and that's why I say the enemy wants you to believe, it's okay. Just repent to the next time. Repent means 100%, 180-degree turn. That means a change of heart. Remember, even John the Baptist, they were telling John the Baptist, we Abraham's seed. He said, show me fruit of repentance. If you say you're born again, it ought to be some fruit of repentance. Come on, somebody. It ought to be some fruit of repentance. Your life ought to be able to, your lifestyle ought to, add up with the fruit of righteousness, the fruit of repentance. I don't repent, and I don't do the things that I used to do. The Bible said, if any man be in Christ, he a new creature in Christ Jesus. Old things are past, well, behold, all things are new. Apostle, we don't have a sin nature anymore. Now, what I found out when you go to Romans, the 7th chapter, you're reading this entirety, you will find out, no, I don't have a sin nature, but I have flesh. And the Bible tells me my flesh is an enemy to God. My flesh don't want to pray. It don't want to fast. It don't want to spend time with God. It want to do what it want to do. Come on, somebody. And Paul said that's where he found out it was two battles going on. He said that even in Galatians. And he wrote these epistles were written to the believers. It was telling the believers once they get saved how they're supposed to live. Jesus even said in Revelation to one, he said, I would not have you to be lukewarm. Come on, somebody. You got a lot of things they lukewarm now. Come on. I'm going to write about it. They ain't on fire for the Lord like they used to. They not on fire with the Lord like they used to. They done got lukewarm. If I go to church, I go. If I don't, I don't. They not convicted if they don't go to church. It don't face them one bit if they don't go. And it shouldn't be that way. Come on now. It don't face them no more. If I go, I go. I'm being a little repetitious here. If I go, I go. If I don't, I don't. It don't even bother them no more to go. Y'all listen, I'm telling you, you better think about it. You better think about it. You can get with the sinners. Either you can do things, or you can rebel and disobey what you know is right to do. It don't bother you. Don't faze you one bit. That's the time that we live in. I'm talking about some saints. Saints, you need to go back. Go back and look at what you're doing. Come on now. A lot of people say you go into church and the church look like the world. It's because a lot of saints don't lower their standards. Because they got some people telling it don't take all of that. You don't need to be doing all that stuff. It don't take all of that no more. I hear so many times it just make me tired. You from the old school and all of this and stuff and all. No. Yeah, God want me to enjoy life. And God's word will tell me how to enjoy life. If I read my Bible tell me what God requires and what God don't require. If I read it, what the Bible say, the Bible tells us that he that come to God must believe that God is, and God has rewarded them that diligently seek him. It tells us that we cannot please God without faith. And that's why I said whenever if you read your word, the Bible, would tell you and I what God requires from us and what God don't. And when we come in agreement with what God's word say, some people tell you, they use the terminology, oh, you too religion now. Too religion? What? You too religion? I'm saying it's sad. But let me tell you something. You're going to give an account. We all going to give an account, and that's why it's so important. In this hour, and in this time that we living in, we need to take heed. We need to take heed the way that we live in. Come on, somebody. We need to take heed the way that we live in, and don't let nobody cause you. And this is what Paul even told Timothy that as a young minister, he told Timothy not to let people, or better, I'm paraphrasing, he said, don't let people take advantage of you because of your age. A lot of false prophets had got in there, and they were trying to mislead Timothy. And I'm telling y'all, this hour that we're living in, but I'm telling you, if you don't know Jesus, hear me and hear me good. If you don't know Jesus, you need to cry out to him right now and tell him you need a Savior. And if you save, hear me. And if you've been born again and you done got cold, come on somebody, you done got cold. Because in Revelation, the third chapter, to the church of Laodicea, he told that church they had got to the point, and I'm going to read a little bit. He said, unto the angel of the church of Laodicea, write, these things saith, amen, the faith and true witness, the beginning of the creation of God. I know thy works, that thou art neither cold nor hot. I would that you were cold or hot. So then, because thou art lukewarm and neither cold nor hot, I will spew you thee out of my mouth. And I'm telling us, you know what a lukewarm church do? It begin to compromise with the world and resemble its surrounding with society. It's profession Christianity, yet in reality, it's spiritually rich and miserable. And it would be better for the kingdom of God if that church would deny Christ completely. Christ warned such church that he would reject them. In the midst of a lukewarm church, and this is the time that we living in, don't compromise with sin. Y'all, we all want people to receive us. But we in the hour, and I learned this when I got saved. If you tell the truth, folks don't get offended with you. I thought when you get saved, everybody going to like you and everybody going to be pleased with you living right. That's not true. I'm giving a count of twofold message. God talking to the unbeliever that if you don't know the Lord, you need to get saved. Well, if you already saved, if you don't got lukewarm, if the things of God is not important to you, it's not a priority to you no more. You know, I would listen at another minister because I'm always listening at the word whenever. I can't. And this man will bless me. He said, you know, it used to be the time that all the football games would be on Saturday. He said, but they switched it, and now the football games is on Sunday. And you got some people, they will miss church so they can prepare for the football game. If need be, some won't even go. Either if they go to church, they sit watching, they watch, and they trying to rush the minister so that they can hurry up and get out of church. So they can have their parties and all. And please hear me. If you want to have a Super Bowl party, any kind of party, that's between you and Jesus. But listen, see, that the things of God are supposed to be a priority to us. Idolatry. What is idolatry? It's anything that you give more of your attention to God. We live in a time that some people, and Jesus said in Mark 4, Matthew 13, he said, the chaos of this world and the deceitfulness of riches would choke the word out of him. If you put money before God, now God told you in Matthew 6, he said that if you seek him first, he's going to make sure you're taken care of. He tells us in the book of Philippians, but my God shall supply all of my needs. Some people in the Bible tell us that he that seek to be rich seeks some wisdom. Some people done made, done moved God out the place. I'm talking about saints. And they don't put money there. Because you don't cast away your confidence. You're not believing and trusting in God that God gonna supply your needs. You used to be on fire for God. You wanted to be in the house of God every time the doors open. Prophet Miller, you just no, let me tell y'all something. I went through a time period in my life because I used to have people tell me, you too holy, you too this, you too this here, you too that. Every time you look around, you talking about the Bible, you talking about Jesus. Don't nobody want to hear about no Lord. Y'all need to be spending all of my, and listen, y'all, let me tell you, you said what you want to say. If you ain't careful, if you ain't really, you can allow what people say to move you. Because that's part of your flesh. You want everybody to receive you. You don't want no. Now some people say I could care less. Well, I cared, and then see, I read that I was in error because the Bible tells me to cast all my cares on the Lord, for the Lord cared for me. And like in this church right here, Laodicea, that church right there, they got lukewarm, and Jesus was telling them, and I'm telling you. When you go to church, if you really in a spirit-filled church, if your spirit man open, and if even if you done got lukewarm, if the message ought to convict you. Now, I even see this in church, and it's sad. Some pastors afraid to preach the truth, because if you rebuke the saints, they get offended. Do you not know the word of God offend you? Do you not know in Acts, after they came down out the upper room with the Holy Spirit, the anointing draw persecution and cause them to scatter, but God caused it to work for their good. By they being scattered, he was able to reach more folks. But every time they look around, those apostles, they were preaching and people were being convicted, being saved, but at the same time they were being persecuted. One chapter said how they was being beaten. Y'all, we in that hour. But some rather just withdraw and don't say, I don't want nobody mad at me. I want everybody to like me. Now, please hear what I'm saying. You have to be led by the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit know the person. He know the right time, and he'll give you the right word to say to people. Because when he gave me this, he said, go back even thirst and talk about it. Because I'm telling you, if you ain't accept Jesus, your Lord and Savior, if you die, you're going to lift up your eyes in hell. Now, listen, that ain't the will of God. Please hear me. That ain't the will of God, because we were made in his image and his likeness. His God will for us to return to him, or better yet, come to him on our own. He wants us to come to him because we love him. He wants us to live for him because we love him. The first commandment is to love God with all your heart, all your soul, all your mind, and all your strength. God wants us to do it on our own. He wants us to be willing. And if we willing, guess what? If we willing, God will help us to live right through the Holy Spirit. God will he the Holy Spirit. He will help us to live right. But as I stated, he is not going to make you and I live right. And I'm saying, if you was a Christian one time and you was on fire for God and you cast away your confidence, whatever you love, you just need to repent, say, Lord, forgive me, restore unto me the joy of my salvation. Father, I need to be refilled again and get back on fire for the Lord. Get your priorities straight. Remember Haggai, when they were saying, Lord, we sold in our pockets, it's like holes in our pockets. He said, consider your ways. We got some saints, you need to really consider your ways. We got some leaders, need to consider your ways. Because if you out here trying to compromise, you are a lukewarm church. Come on, somebody. And y'all, we're going to give an account for that. Because his people out here need to know the Lord. And people need to know. Right? Well, honey, if I go to here because of something, no. It's because of my mom and daddy. No. The Bible says let every man work out his own soul salvation. The Bible tells us you ain't going to die for your parents' sin. The only way you would die for the sins of your parents, if you didn't take the opportunity and receive Jesus, your Lord and Savior. Whatever your mom and daddy did that wasn't right, that was between mom and daddy and God. That ain't got nothing to do with you. Jesus made it possible that I can come to him on my own. And I sense this strongly this evening. Somebody need to cry and say, Lord, look, I need a Savior. I'm addicted to this, and I want to be set free. Father, I know if I died right now, I wouldn't go to heaven. I'd go to hell. Well, guess what? That can be changed. And if we got born-again believers that, like I said, you done got lukewarm. The things of God don't excite you no more. The word of God don't excite you no more. You'd rather sit up and watch TV than to read your Bible. You'd rather go all other places on Sunday than to go to your normal church. That means you done cast away your confidence. You done lost that desire. Come on, somebody. Father, I got to stop right here. Father, in the matchless name of Jesus, I thank you for your word. Father, I pray as this man should touch, and they humbled themselves and repented. I thank you for Jesus restoring them and for Jesus receiving them, and they no longer have to give place to the enemy. And I pray that they will be filled and receive the Holy Spirit, who is their teacher. In Jesus' name, amen. Again, this was Apostle Willie Ann Miller. I pray and trust you enjoy the rest of your evening. And if you said that sinner prayer, get in the church. Open your Bible, begin to read, and ask the Holy Spirit to help you. And if you die, you'll lift up your eyes in heaven. Enjoy the rest of your evening.